One would assume that Jonah's exposure to the truth and the miracles God performed on his behalf would yield a far greater outcome than it did. In reality, even with God's many blessings, Jonah never connected the dots. He never saw the evidence of God's sovereign hand. As a result, Jonah's story ends not with a sense of gratitude and relief, but with self-pity and anger. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll draws a parallel between the prophet's reaction and our own. Chuck titled his message, Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher. And we begin with prayer.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Thank you, our Father, for the change of seasons. Thank you for the reminder that you change them, not we. You are in charge, not we. Your plan is being unfolded, not ours. You're at work in our lives, even when we're not aware of it. Even now. If ever we love you now. Now, in this treacherous time in which we live, now, when our world is so dangerous, a difficult place to serve Christ, filled with challenges and often with threats. Lord, if there's ever been a time we've loved you, we want you to know we love you now. And because of that, we set apart the week that's before us. We pray that our walk with you will be consistent, that our relationship with you will be real, that our time with you will be meaningful, that our response to you will be obedience. We commit to you, our Father, these days as they unfold. Watch over our children as we are separate from them, some in school, some at work, some in the military, some overseas, some wayward and running from you. Watch over those whom we love, Lord, even though right now they don't seem to love you. Be gracious, O God. Care for all of us in the same way you cared for that rebel Jonah, who ran from you and then ran to you and then ran with you, and finally ran against you. Teach us from his life lessons to be learned, that our love for you may be deep and consistent and real. I pray in the name of Christ, our Savior, to whom we give our gifts with great gratitude. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now let's begin the message called Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher.
The scriptures are like a vault of truth that is profound. You learn from the Bible what no other book can tell you. You learn who he is, you learn what he does, and while the book may not take away all of the mystery, it at least opens up the caverns of bewilderment so that God becomes real. And we realize that he means business. We gain security from the scriptures, learning about God. We gain self-awareness from the scriptures as we learn about ourselves. And we gain discernment from the scriptures as we learn about others. Having said all of that, had Jonah's life been marked by a constant study of the scriptures and absorption of the scriptures, he would have responded in a completely different way. But because obviously his life was not marked by that, he never got it. I find four very helpful principles or lessons that we can learn from this book. Unfortunately, Jonah failed to learn even one of them. That is, he really didn't learn them permanently. There may have been glimpses, but they were not permanent lessons that he learned. These are not inspired. They're simply thoughts that came to me when I went through the four chapters, which I will do with you in the brief time we have that remains. Each chapter yielding another lesson from the story of a stubborn preacher. Chapter 1 seems to teach us this. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. Jonah's attempt was amazing. I mean, he didn't wait around to run from the Lord. He did it immediately. Soon as he heard, go to Nineveh, he made plans to go to Tarshish, opposite direction. His escape was immediate, not delayed. It was brash, not subtle. It was deliberate, not uncertain. He knew exactly what he was doing. I'm out of here. Didn't Jonah know that you can't flee from omnipresence? Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. John Oxenham wrote these words centuries ago. He writes in characters too grand for our short sight to understand. We catch but broken strokes and try to fathom all the mystery of withered hopes, of death, of life, the endless war, the useless strife. But there, with larger, clearer sight, we shall see this. His way was right. His way was right. I don't believe Jonah ever got that. When we get to the second chapter, we find him, of all places, in the belly of a fish. It is the one spot where Jonah, at least for a few moments, did something right. He called on God. Of all places, out of the innards of this fish. So here's the lesson I get from chapter 2. Anytime and any place we call on the Lord is an acceptable time and place. Anytime, any place. He says in verse 7, my life was slipping away, and that's when I remembered the Lord. It was there he finally came to his senses. It was there he remembered the Lord. It was in the fish he said, I will fulfill my vows. It was in the fish he finally, at least for a brief period, surrendered. Over the years of my ministry, I've received letters from people in all different times and places of their lives. Letters from prison, as an individual would write and say, it took the bars of prison to get my attention. And for the first time in my life, I have come to realize God is God. And I've begun to call on him. I've received numerous notes from people on hospital beds after the fact saying, I had to be leveled before God got my attention. There's an old saying I've often quoted, pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. And these letters drip with that message. What an independent, self-serving rebel I was until I hit the mat with a heart attack, or until the stroke almost took my life, or until I went through this dreadful emotional breakdown where I wanted to finish things off. Speaking of that, I received a very moving letter a number of years ago from a young lady who had checked into a cheap motel to take her life. Her letter to me after the fact, and I'll explain that in just a moment, included words I'll never forget reading. She said in the letter, I can still taste the steel from the barrel of the gun in my mouth before my finger was on the trigger. Let me tell you what happened. She's sitting on the side of the bed. It's in the early, early hours of the morning. Someone had set the radio in that little motel room to click on automatically at that time. So click, on came the Insight for Living broadcast, and out of that broadcast came a voice she had never heard before. She jerked the gun out of her mouth, thank goodness. And she thought, who in the world is this screaming at me? And she listened long enough to know taking her life was not the answer. And later told in the letter to me of trusting in Christ. One even more moving than that was the guy that had stolen a car. True story. He's racing out of town with this stolen car. He's flipping around on the radio trying to get some rock station or some kind of music he can enjoy, and he comes across Insight for Living, and the radio sticks. And he can't get it turned around, and out of the radio comes this voice that says, you may be running right now from God. As a matter of fact, you might be breaking the law at this very moment. He goes, what on earth is this about? Long story short, he came to Christ, wrote me a letter and said, I don't know how you knew, but it's exactly where I was. Of course, I didn't know. But the good news is that any time and any place we call on the Lord is an acceptable time and place. Even here, even today, even now, for you. I hope you've run long enough and far enough for you to realize it's a futile run. I hope it won't take something this dramatic in your life to turn you around. Because the Lord is ready. David wrote, I waited patiently. Listen to these words, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a pit of despair, says the New Living Translation, out of a pit of despair, out of the mud and mire, any place, any time, he hears our cry. And then we get to the third chapter, and it's an amazing chapter. Jonah finally is given a second chance. He walks into the city of Nineveh. He announces God's message. And even though in his heart, he's hoping they won't believe it because he wants them all killed, his racial prejudice is so severe. He hates these Gentiles he's talking to, but he's delivering the message God gave him to give to the people. 40 days and you'll be destroyed. 40 days and you'll be destroyed. Perhaps he amplified it here and there in places, but that's the core of his message. That was the message God would have him give. And God used the message even though he was out of sorts in his own life. Even though he preached with the wrong motive, God used his message, which gives us this lesson. Lesson number 3, any person who is willing to deliver God's message is a messenger God is willing to use. Frankly, I think I'm safe in saying God isn't that particular with who his voice box would be. He has used some amazing voice boxes over time. Jonah is a classic example. The man is prejudiced, the man is angry, the man delivers the message with the wrong motive. The man is looking at these people, not with love, but with hatred. He's hoping for the worst, God has planned for them the best, and he's faithful to deliver what God gave him to say, and the people, amazingly, took it to heart, changed the direction of their lives, and went through a process rather quickly of repenting. They had been moving in one direction, they're now moving in the other, thanks to the message that Jonah delivered to them. God's willing to use even a soiled, prejudiced, hateful messenger, if he will deliver his message. May I testify personally here? There have been times in my life when I've been physically ill, but it's been my responsibility to stand and deliver. And even though physically sick, I've delivered a message, sometime with a fever, sometime not knowing it, but fighting a disease that I was in the process of coming down with, and God blessed the message, though the messenger was weak and really should have not even been here, but here I was, weak and ill, but delivering what needed to be said. Sometime I've been out of sorts and struggling, and yet I was required to deliver his message, and I delivered it. Sometime I wasn't at peace, and of all things, the message may have been about peace, so I spoke of peace, which may not have been at that time true in my own life. Struggling over issues that I was working through or trying to get on top of. But I'm not the center of the message. He is. The only thing he needs from me is a voice. And if I deliver it, he says, he will bless it. And I'll say the same for any one of you. You will be in places I will never be. You will have opportunities I will never have. So let me say to you, speak. Tell the truth. Say it graciously, Say it lovingly as best you can, but deliver the truth to those who need to hear it. And I've just described the great majority of our world that is at odds with itself, as all of us know. When you get to the fourth chapter of Jonah, you come to a convoluted man. He finds himself in the midst of a revived people who are in the process of repenting, changing their wicked ways because of what he told them, though he didn't want them to change. And he, of all things, is now witnessing that God has changed his plan from destroying them to blessing them. He can't stand it. You remember our time in this last chapter. Builds a little shelter to get alone, to sort of pitch a fit, and he does that, and the Lord's plan is unfolding, and he can't stop it, and the sun's beating down on him, and a gourd grows quickly and covers him with its shade, and he gets all grateful for that, now that he's a little more comfortable, and then the Lord sends a worm. It almost makes you smile when you read the story. And he kills the plant and takes away the shade. And Jonah is left with a hot sun. And then there's a hot wind that blows on him. He's really out of sorts. And by now, he's just saying to the Lord, just kill me. Just take my life. I can't stand where I am or what's happening all around me. But the Lord doesn't. Oh, he could have. He could have at any moment taken him, but he chose not to. He let him live. And the lesson we learn from all of this, hear it. Any desire we have that is in conflict with the plan God desires requires that we change our desire.
These application points are what Chuck Swindoll calls lessons learned from a stubborn preacher. This is Insight for Living, featuring the ninth message in Chuck's brand new 9-part series on Jonah, concluding tomorrow. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll and the ministry of Insight for Living, visit insightworld.com. Even though we're in the final week of May, Insight for Living is looking ahead to a significant anniversary. On June 30th, just 5 weeks from now, this nonprofit ministry will close the books on 39 years of service to our listening family. Chuck, passing this four-decade milestone is a big deal.
Dave, it's not lost on me that some in our listening family are privately thinking, now, Chuck, it's great that you're arriving at another milestone, but what does Insight for Living's 40th anniversary have to do with me? Well, that's a very honest question, and you deserve a direct and honest answer. First, let me clarify that in festive times like these, we're not looking inward, applauding ourselves. Our primary focus is outward, on friends like you, and it's been that way from day one. And second, I'd say this. I'd like you to imagine a world without Insight for Living. Many in our listening family can trace their spiritual heritage back to the days when they first started listening. Maybe you've been listening for 5 years, perhaps 10 or 20, even all 40 years. So, imagine if Insight for Living had chosen to be silent. Imagine if stations had refused to carry our program, and if our current list of 2,600 stations around this world carried only music or just the news rather than Bible teaching. Imagine your spiritual growth and training without Insight for Living. Gratefully, this scenario has never happened. Instead, God has given Insight for Living a global platform And along with that, he has provided people just like you to partner financially with us. And some have given sacrificially. In that sense, this anniversary has everything to do with you. To ensure that our daily visits together continue into our 40th year, I'm calling on you to give a generous donation before June 30th, not as an homage to Insight for Living, but with a continued confidence that God will use your gift, large or small, to reach teenagers and children, women and men around the world with the life-changing truth of His Word. You know this, the need is urgent. And so your partnership represents our most treasured relationship. So let me thank you in advance for responding today.
And we've opened up a number of different ways you can easily connect with Insight for Living. So if you're tech savvy and listen to this program in the United States, you can send a text to 555-888. Type the one word INSIGHT into your text box, and you'll be sent some simple instructions for giving a donation. Or one of our ministry representatives would be pleased to process your gift over the phone. If you're listening in the United States, the telephone number is 1-800-772-8888. That number once again, 1-800-772-8888. Or you can easily give online at insight.org. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll concludes his 9-part series on the life of Jonah, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.